Committee on Rules Administration will come to order. We have to, we'd like to process three bills here today. Senator Rest, Senate File 70. What do we do? I think just give members a heads up on what the idea here is on your
bill. Senate File 70, Mr. Chairman and members, is a proposal to place on the ballot this fall a constitutional question dealing with the way proposed changes in the way in which Minnesotans select judges. Currently, as you know, the...
I think we just need to know procedurally what you're trying to do here.
That's what I'm going to say now. So, currently there are contested elections. The proposal, the question is to the people to change to a system of retention elections. And that is, and then the underlying bill beyond the question is the way in which judges would be evaluated for the purposes of standing for retention election. What is not in Senate File 70 that would that is in the jurisdiction and an issue for the Finance Committee is the way in which the Performance Evaluation Commission would be funded, and we have a mechanism for doing that that would be added in the Finance Committee.
So what you'd like to do is send it to Finance. You don't want to go back to your committee. You just want to go to Finance.
Just to Finance.
And then it would come back here again.
And then it would come back here. As I think you're, wherever constitutional amendments have gone, if they have a fiscal impact, they're coming back here.
Okay. Senator Clark moves that Senate File 70 be referred to the Committee on Finance. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion adopted. Thanks, Senator Rest.
Thank you very much.
Senator Lynch?
I didn't see Sachs on this.
Senator Lynch? Senate File 987.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 987 was initially sent to the Rules Committee last session. As you recall, we had, I think it was Senate File 3, which was an overall health mandates vehicle, and so there were a number of provisions that were directed here and ultimately went to the floor in the form of a comprehensive mandate reduction bill. In that process, one section of Senate File 987 was omitted. It is my belief, and in working with the stakeholders that were working on this particular provision, I think that it was nothing more than an oversight or a drafting error.
So what's the path you're proposing?
Mr. Chair, I have an A3 amendment, which so that I'd like Senate File 987 to be moved to the floor so that we could pick up that provision, and the A3 amendment reflects just the section of the bill that hasn't been formally acted on.
Okay, so what's left is Section 2.
Section 2. Mr. Chair, would you like a...
From a shall to a may?
Yes.
Is that how the bill does that? Okay, and this, that language was part of a policy bill that was discussed, debated, and was passed by a committee.
By a number of committees, Mr. Chair.
So what we're dealing with here is apparently an oversight in terms of having this part of a larger package. And there could be controversy, that's fine, but there's no reason to send it back to any committees because committees have signed off on this provision.
Mr. Chair, that's correct, and in fact, I would say that this last provision was one of the strongest provisions in the bill in that, frankly, it was the shall to the may was an amendment that was adopted in the Judiciary Committee that was offered by Senator Limmer. There was very good discussion surrounding it, and it gives counties a bit more flexibility. I don't expect that it would, I think it's been well vetted.
Okay, well, that's kind of the issue. So, okay, Senator Senja moves the A3. Is that okay, David?
Mm-hmm.
Discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed,
aye.
Motion adopted. And then, Senator Senja, do you want to move Senate File 987 as amended?
As amended.
We recommend to pass.
So move.
Further discussion? Anybody in the audience would like to testify? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you.
Senator Sexhog. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So you have a resolution that, why don't you just briefly tell us what you're doing?
Okay, well, this is Senate File 2494. It is a resolution. It's a result of a lot of work over the interim done by the Permanent School Fund Advisory Committee, and it's what we're trying to do is generate more revenue from the school trust fund, from our school trust lands that were embedded in the BWCA. And actually, I would characterize this as an agreement in principle rather than a resolution. There are roughly 85,000 acres of school trust land embedded in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, and we'd like, over the years, it's either been, well, you can sell the whole thing or you can exchange the whole thing depending on who you were talking to. So what we've got here is kind of a hybrid proposal putting these two approaches together. Actually, as a media of the minds, the environmental community, the educational community, and a group of folks known as the Range Delegation. And the DNR and the U.S. Forest Service are working on this exchange of approximately 27,000 acres. This is out of the 85,000. The land the state will acquire will generate long-term revenue for the school trust fund and will achieve consolidation by, in many cases, matching up surface and mineral rights. The amount of cash the state will receive will be based on the appraisals of the remaining acreage, and that's about 60,000 to 65,000 acres. The Permanent School Trust Fund Advisory Committee and Sale and Exchange, the BWCA Subcommittee, worked extensively with all stakeholders to come up with an arrangement that has been an excellent, I think gives us an excellent chance of reality. Once again, it's important to bring up the point this issue came to the forefront when Senator Lynch passed the Lynch Law 2 years ago and made money from the school trust fund be in addition to the education funding instead of supplanting general fund dollars. That means that income coming out of the school trust fund used to go into the education fund, and an equal amount of money then used to go into the general fund. So, you know, why would you want to promote income coming out of the school trust fund? Now it supplements it. So it makes a lot of sense.
It was in the Environment Committee recommended to pass to the consent calendar.
Yes.
And the reason why we don't take all resolutions and bring them to the floor, the reason is you think the congressional delegation is looking for kind of consensus at the state level that this is the approach.
I've talked to both Congressman Oberstar and Congressman Peterson. They both gave them copies. They were very interested in what they saw. Also, early next...
So this expedites what I want.
Yes, it will.
The only issue for us is, do we have to do this?
Yeah.
And the question, your argument is that this actually is something that will help the congressional delegation be part of or recognize the negotiations as a meaningful exercise.
This is something they are waiting for, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I think sometimes the resolutions we see have kind of a partisan political bent to them. This, I think, is significantly different in that this is a very substantive issue that I think has some resolution if we get the federal government to cooperate with us.
Yeah.
We can have a win-win situation here. A win-win-win, maybe if you count the students that would receive some extra.
Mr. Chair, my final couple of comment is that we thought about doing this through a bill, and but we're told by the Federal Forest Service that, you know, and what they were thinking about doing and what they've done in Utah. The Utah people are coming in next week to share with us why they were successful, but that this was thought to be the best way to go about working with them.
Okay.
With the federal government.
Questions? Anybody in the audience want to testify? Okay, Senator Clark moves that Senate file. Or Senator Bach, do you want to move it?
No.
You don't? Okay, Senator. Not everybody's warm to it yet.
Do my name on it, Mr. Chairman?
I do see Anderson and Saxhog and Stump, and I kind of go, all right, that's a pretty good combination. So, Senator Clark moves that. Or Senator Frederickson. Senator Frederickson is knowledgeable about the issue.
Clark isn't.
Senator Frederickson moves that Senate file.
We'll defer to Senator
Frederickson. Moves that Senate file 2494 be recommended to pass. Discussion?
Aye.
Do you
want to put it on the consent calendar?
Do you want it on the consent calendar? Does that make sense? Go faster that way.
Okay, yes. That would be great.
Consent calendar. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Aye.
Motion adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, it's not that I object to what Senator Saxhog is doing. I applaud him for his effort. I just think the only way to resolve this is for the state of Minnesota to sue the federal government. I think some little 12-year-old kid that's not getting revenue to his school needs to sue the federal government. They've stolen this land from us, and I've been unable to get the state to do that. I'm all for an exchange if we can get one.
So, Senator Saxhog, you're going to try the honey first? The honey first and the club later?
The club bead hammer later.
Members, passed out is... Thank you, Senator Saxhog. Passed out is... what I'm trying to do here is gather all the governor's bills related to the budget. And this is a summary of where we're at right now with regards to gubernatorial introductions. And my thought was... create a rules committee bill that incorporates the governor's proposals in the same kind of packages that we're bringing our budget bills to the floor. So the first package would be the six or seven budget bills that Senator Cohen's committee processed today, and perhaps if Senator Bach adds his piece of budget reductions, it would include that piece also. And so we would take the governor's bills, the language that covers those budget areas, create a committee bill here and send that to the floor so that members would have the opportunity to vote on the governor's proposals.
Mr. Chairman?
So this is the list of where we are with the governor's proposals, as I understand it right now. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, are the governor's proposals going to be heard in these various divisions or just heard in the rules committee?
Well, I am open to how people want to process, but it seems like where we usually get is people say they're for the governor's proposal, not for the one that the committee's put together. Okay, so then let's vote on the governor's proposal and then vote on the committee's proposal. If, on the other hand, some members would like to process some of this and make alterations to the governor's proposals, I'm very open to that. What I don't want to do, though, is be in a situation where there are members on the Senate floor saying that if only you would adopt the governor's proposals, life would be wonderful. Because I want to give members an opportunity to vote on that.
Mr. Chairman, life isn't wonderful under the circumstances of anybody's proposal.
I think that's a fair assessment, yes. I think that is true. Senator Clark?
Mr. Chair, I believe that all of the divisions have taken testimony on the governor's proposals too, so there at least has been conversation in these committees on what the governor... Sorry. Thank you, Senator Olson. What I say is I believe that all the divisions have taken testimony on the governor's proposals. Having people coming in, and if there's more that needs to be done, fine, but at least there have been conversations, at least in most of them.
What I want to do is allow the governor's proposals to be voted on. Do that respect and service to the executive branch. And one way to do that would be just to package them here as committee bills and get them to the floor. if one of the authors of those bills wants to change the bill, that's fine with me. And we could process that. So, like Senator Hahn has the agriculture, he must have multiple pieces in here, agriculture, higher ed, and there's a lot of policy language too. I'm proposing, he's got unallotment ratification. I'm proposing only putting committee bills together on the pieces that coincide to the pieces that the Finance Committee is sending. So I'm trying to get apples to apples. But Senator Olson, the reason we're discussing this is I am open to however people would like to proceed. Here's where I'm at. I just think we ought to put before the full Senate the options that are truly available and then kind of cut down on all the rhetoric. And then we'll have shorter sessions, everybody will be happier, and everybody will get the votes they want. And then let's move on. That's kind of where I'm at.
What's your timeline for doing this?
Well, the Finance Committee passed today 6 or 7 budget areas. They have referred it to the Tax Committee. Senator Bach is moving by the end of this week, or soon at least.
Well, probably sometime next week.
Senator Bach has a $105 million reduction target.
Mr. Chairman,
and then we're going to put those in the same bill, and then they come to the floor.
That's the point I want to make. These finance bills are moving fast. The divisions are having to work fast.
Yes.
And policy committees are working at the same time, and members are getting stretched so thin you can't be at two places at one time. So we aren't able to spend the time we perhaps should on these bills. And for example, this morning in finance, I called for a roll call at one point on an amendment because there was about half or maybe one less than half of the members have the committee, because there was an education committee going on at the same time. There's all kinds of people around here. It's just getting pushed too fast.
Okay.
My argument is that we should allow for a more methodical workload for members.
Well, this 2-week period is always like this, isn't it?
Mr. Chairman,
committee deadline week?
Having to meet the same deadline as the policy. That's been what the challenge is.
I mean, you can see the point of view, from my point of view, though, the criticism that we're not moving fast enough is something I hear all the time from the executive branch.
Mr. Chairman.
Where are your budget proposals? Where's your budget? And so,
Mr. Chairman, we're the Senate of the legislative branch. We're not employees or commissioners of the executive. We set our own pace.
I know, but I have heard Senator Senjum mention that he was wondering where our budget was, too. If Senator Senjum had been saying, slow down, Governor, Senate's going to work in a methodical way, then perhaps we could have gone on a different time frame. But I mean, the reality is somebody keeps complaining that the Senate's not moving quick enough. So we're kind of caught betwixt and between there a little bit, Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, did we ever get anything in writing from the governor how he might address the new forecast as it relates to a supplemental, mitigate some cuts someplace? Or I mean, I just saw in the newspaper he suggested the money go to the cash flow account, but that doesn't seem like what we should do.
I never saw anything.
What I was hoping is once we got all of his bills in writing, we could ascertain what it is that he is recommending. And we don't yet have all the bills in writing. The budget chairs, Senator Frederickson, it is true, the budget chairs have been concerned that without having seen some of the governor's language, they're not quite sure exactly what the proposal is. So that is a frustration, and the chairs have expressed that.
Mr. Chairman, I think all the bills have been introduced now.
Well, we don't think so, but we're trying to figure it out.
That's a fair assessment. The bills should be introduced.
So why don't members of the Rules Committee think about it? The reason I brought this up today is I was going to start the process of kind of looking through the governor's bills that have been introduced. I was asking staff then to kind of package them so they would coordinate with the three-step process that the Senate's on right now. And, you know, we're not going to rush here. We're going to basically, I want to try to do it in a way that people think is straightforward and fair. I really think members want votes on things, right? And I want to try to accommodate the minority also on this. Let's just organize it so that we don't sit up on the floor and spend all our time thrashing about on how if somebody can get a vote on something. Why don't we just decide what is the votes we want? Let's get it organized and let's do it in an orderly fashion. Let the debate take place and do it in an orderly fashion. I would love to think all the members are going to vote for the budget bills that came out of the committees. My experience is that's typically not what happens. As we understand, only four of the governor's bills are introduced. And so there may be three or four more coming.
Chair, I know that Senator Ingebrigtsen has public safety. I don't know, frankly, if we have any more on our side or not.
Well, we'll try to figure that out. And
was introduced yesterday. Did we introduce it yesterday?
Well, Betzold apparently introduced one by request here. So, and Roebling has. There just seems to be more in here. There must be non-budget items in these bills too. And I'm not proposing. This is all budget items. He's seen a lot thicker than what our Finance Committee is doing.
Mr. Chairman, I just know in Finance Committee today there was some extraneous language that was taken out of the bill.
Right. It just looks like the governor may have policy and budget items together. The bill you just passed today is not even that thick, is it?
I ain't close.
Is it? Oh, this is 70. Okay. My only point was I wouldn't intend to. I mean, I think we need to figure out what would be a fair representation of what the governor's proposing. I'm not trying to. I'm trying to basically put the governor's budget before the Senate. I mean, I'm not trying to hide anything. I would like to do that. The reason I think it makes sense is when I was here in 81, 82, that was one of the necessary steps to get the votes to pass the budget. It just was, because at some point, there's going to have to be a bipartisan vote to pass the budget. There just is going to have to be. Otherwise, there won't be a budget.
Chair, one of the problems I think will be, the governor had a budget in totality, you can like it or not, but if we go incrementally, that's going to be a problem. I don't know if we can package all, your bills, if you will, in the entirety, and have a chance to look side by side, but that would be preferable.
Okay, how do we do that, though, when the governor's budget is dependent upon, I don't think he has a total budget. He's dependent on $300 or $400 million of federal money right now. Now, that money may come, but it's not here now. And so would the proposal be to wait until we find out what the federal government does before we vote on a budget? I'm not inclined to do that.
Mr. Chairman, and that never happens in other situations?
Well, I'm asking, would you like to wait?
No, Mr. Chairman. I, in terms of, we're operating on projections in a lot of areas in terms of sources of revenue. If we don't know what's going to come, that's part of the challenge that we have. So to pick that one provision out and suggest that it's not going to come. Yeah, if it didn't, then we've got something that we'd have to address. But that's what we do all through our budget process.
Well, this one's a little unique, don't you think, Senator Olson? It's almost $400 million, premised on the fact that the federal government's going to pass a bill in the next month or so to send the money. I've never seen a circumstance where a governor's budget's been put together under that premise.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe we've just gotten kind of conditioned to the profligate spending at the federal level that they just, I don't know if they just turn on the printing press or what it is, but they don't seem to have any problem with spending billions and gazillions out there. So, why should we criticize him for having confidence that they're going to continue that behavior?
Senator Olson, I'm not criticizing him. I'm talking about the observation that you can't vote on a total budget until you know whether. And so the option is, do we just slow everything down here and wait till after the two conventions and vote on a budget in the last 3 weeks of the session? Or do we try to work at getting this done. Keep in mind what Senator Cohen just passed is complete budget bills for those six or seven budget areas. We normally pass 10 budget bills. And so packaging six of them or whatever it is into one bill, it's eight. Packaging eight of them into one seems like a normal process because we don't hold them all till the end. Why don't members think about it? I would like to do this in a way that members were comfortable with. But I feel pretty strongly that the governor's proposal should be on the Senate floor. I really do. Because otherwise we're going to put up with all this. Am I saying something that's not obvious to everybody? If you don't put the governor's proposals on the floor, then we're going to listen to speeches about how this is a terrible proposal you have, Senator Cohen, if only you had done what the governor said. And what I want to do is let's just get to it. If the governor's got a better proposal, then vote for it. If Senator Cohen's bill is a better proposal, vote for that.
Mr. Chair, that's fine enough. I wish we could have the side-by-sides.
So well, we will, I presume, when we get there. That's the idea.
The majority proposal.
Absolutely.
The governor's, yeah.
Absolutely. I think we should have that. And the only way to get that, I think, is to start in a process like I'm suggesting here, is that we start to package it together and then ask the fiscal staff to just give us what does it look like? What's the differences here? We could have spreadsheets, dual spreadsheets. I think that would be a good idea because there are choices being made here. And
Mr. Chair, would you be suggesting that you adopt these off the floor, lay them on the table, and wait until you get to your... HHS,
I would think you'd want to take up the combinations at the same time, pretty much, in close proximity to each other. So when we do the second piece, which is the human service one, we'd put the governor's human service proposal next to the one that comes out of the notes. And right now, the plan is to do the first two steps before Easter Passover. So that would not include K-12, the shift, or any potential revenue somebody thinks they're going to have, if they think that.
Chair, one. Well, the problem, I think it was Senator Olson, maybe our first year here, was we had this floor debate about whether you can dip back or not, if that's, you know, as for instance, you're on a health and human services bill and you want to take something out of kind of energy and environment, you know, and use that money over here. You can't do it once you process the bill off the floor. That makes it difficult.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a challenge. One thing that we do have is that the bill that was passed in finance today is at the same number as the governor for those eight budget areas, $208 million. Senator Pock's piece will be less than the governor's. Your target, Senator Pock, is $105 million. The governor's at $250 million. So that difference will be very apparent. But in the other areas, those other areas, the total number is the same. Some differences between the divisions. And I think our rule says you can make amendments internal to the bill. But it is true. If there's nothing on human services in there, you can't reach into human services. That is true.
Yeah.
Or K-12, because neither human services or K-12 would be part of this first package. Well, let's think about it and talk about it. And I want to do something here that expedites the work on the Senate floor. And I fully understand people want votes on things. The argument I'm going to make and Majority Caucus is there are going to be votes. Why don't we just kind of get to it rather than thrashing about trying to avoid votes? Let's just vote. But my point is, I think that there will not be that third piece will not pass without a bipartisan vote. I just don't think it will. I don't think you can get there without it. The first piece perhaps can. I hope it's bipartisan, the first piece. I hope it is. But I think there will be 34 majority votes to pass that. The next two pieces I'm not so sure about.